ready to laugh your ass off.
I'm ashamed God made me a man.
I don't think God's doing a lot of bragging about it either.
What's happening, Captain?
We gotta come into that ending a little better.
That's like hitting a brick wall.
I know.
Well, hello there. It's Denise, and you're listening to the Lesbian Lounge. How are you? You're also listening to a little bit of Ella Henderson featuring Kygo. Love this kid. It's called Here For You. One of my new favorites. So anyways, yeah. So, yellow. You are listening to the Lesbian Lounge. It's Denise. I am an American lesbian living in London. And you're getting this courtesy of mylesbianradio.com. Hope you're doing okay. Not quite sure how you found us. Could be iTunes. Could be Podbean. Could be Stitcher. If it's Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, could be rainbowradio.fm. Wherever you have found us, hello, welcome. You know, I'm putting these out a little less regularly. I'm sure you noticed. Not a big deal. It's just that we've got some other shows, and I've been working on those. They're coming in slowly but surely, but, you know, they're new podcasters. So we're, you know, it's a learning curve, if you will. But we're having a lot of fun, and that's the important thing. So, it's spring here in London, and, the weather's been fantastic. I can't complain. I did my first, mow and blow, as I'm calling it, of the season. Mowed my backyard and used my leaf blower. Everything is looking spectacular. My parents were here, for a week, and we had a really good time. We don't, like, flood them with things to do. We just kind of let them set the pace. And we did a lot of, like, we went out for dinner probably every night. It was my mother's 70th birthday. So we went to her favorite places because she's been here before. So she's got some favorites. But, yeah, that was fun. So we went to a lot of her favorite food places. And she loves a farm shop and a garden center. So we did a lot of that. And we got together with a lot of people that she already knows over here. So we had three or four nights where we were just out to dinner with friends and family. And it was really a good time. It was really fun. It was way too short, though. A week goes by in a blink. Yeah, so that was cool. And just before that, I had an opportunity. And I'm so sorry I didn't get this out sooner, but I had an opportunity to speak with one of our longtime friends of the Lesbian Lounge who's been around with us forever. And you guys know her. You love her. Jill Bennett. She's got a new project out, which is really impressive because you guys know that Jill just has a penchant for finding really great quality projects. Whether she does them herself, whether she finds them with somebody else, I don't know. But she just always has a knack for finding really good stuff. And once again, she has not let us down. Jill is starring in a new project called Bad Habits. And I had an opportunity to have a big, long, juicy, detailed conversation with Jill. Which we really needed to. It was way too long. And we got all caught up, and I wanted to share it with you. So this is a special edition. I've got a ton of time, and I spent it with Jill Bennett, and I wanted you to be a part of that. So here we go. This is my chat with your favorite, Jill Bennett.
Are we starting now? Are we official? Are we on?
Let's let everybody know I'm on the line with Jill Bennett. And you have Lauren with you?
No, she's not here. You'll have to, she had to go get pretty because she's going to be in the scene tomorrow. So she's doing actress preparation, which means getting her hair cut and eyebrows done and, you know, all the
Yeah, I guess. All right. It's been all over social media. Everything's been plastered on Facebook. I've seen all kinds of stuff, but I don't know enough about it. And that's freaking me out that I don't know enough about it. So tell us a little bit about this new project, Bad Habits.
Well, it all came about because the girls, the women, I should say girls, the women of the cast of Three Way, we still love each other and see each other on the regular. And it kind of came about as a joke. The night that Tello did like a re-release of Three Way, because it's now hosted at Tello's website.
Yeah.
So this was a while ago. This was like a year and a half ago. And we were all there. And someone asked where our friend Annie Price, who's actually directing and who directed Second Shot.
The name sounded familiar.
Where's Annie? And I said, oh, she's actually filming a nun show right now. And Maeve walked over just as I said nun show. And she said, nun show? We're doing a nun show? And I was like, no. And then Kathy's like, no, that's really funny. We should do a nun show. And then Dara said, we'll call it Bad Habits. And we're ah, ha, 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 ha. Big joke, right? So I go home that night and I suddenly come up with this idea. And I was like, yeah, we could do a nun show. So I called Dara the next day and I said, Dara, let's do this again. And she's like, oh God, what? And I was like, I have this idea and I want to run it by you and see if you're interested. And she said, what is it? And I said, well, how about two of the cast members are convicts and two of the cast members are nuns and the convicts have to serve out the remainder of their sentences at a monastery with nuns. And she's like, what? And I was like, yeah, it's like Orange is the New Black meets Sister Act. And she's like, huh. So we actually got together and we decided to do it. And we started working on the project like a year and a half ago. And we decided who would play the convicts and who would play the nuns. We wrote a treatment. We sort of batted it around a little bit. And then finally, at the end of last year, I said to Dara, let's just write the script. Like, let's just do this. I know you've been on this journey with how many of your guests about creating low-budget projects, and I've been through it a million times.
It's so much work. Like,
I'm sorry?
It's so much work.
It is, and we're doing it again. So that is the genesis of the project. We have a pilot written and we have a budget, but we really are hesitant to do a Kickstarter because everybody does them. I mean, it's really hard to follow like a Kickstarter when you see people putting Kickstarters up for funerals and medical expenses. And then it's like, hey, give money to my web series. It's,
right.
You know, I don't know.
And there's so many people. It's like, it's hard to be selective about what you want to donate to. You know, right. if you don't actually work on them, but you want to help and contribute, it's like, oh God, it is. But what is the alternate? What's the alternate plan if you don't do that? You just have to find investors.
Yeah, I mean, our plan is we don't know what route we're going yet, but we know we're going to start. So we are doing character vignettes, which are basically the backstories of all of our characters. Okay. So we're going to film tomorrow Maeve, and her character is Ellie Walsh. She's like sort of a Martha Stewart type. She had a beauty, I don't want to give away. I think it's on the website. It's a beauty supply company, but it's a very unique type of beauty supply. And she basically got caught in a Ponzi scheme. She went to prison for that. And then we're filming Miley and Kathy, who are the two nuns. Miley plays the acting Mother Superior, meaning the actual Mother Superior is out of town, so she's acting like she is the Mother Superior. Sister Gert, and then Kathy Shim plays Sister Colette, who's basically her biggest supporter sidekick. We are shooting their vignette, which is a nun recruiting video, because nuns actually do this in real life. So that's what we're shooting tomorrow. Next week, or 2 weeks from then, we're shooting two more vignettes, and then mine will be filmed in May because it's very, very complicated. So we're going to do the background vignettes, which are really cheap to produce. But as far as the pilot, we're thinking about investors. We're looking at grants. We're going to digital incubator places maybe to find somebody to co-produce with us. We just want to start making content and continue to grow the fan base to show people that there is, you know, there is an audience for this. And then we hope someone will step forward and help us make it happen.
I'm actually really glad to hear you talking like this again. I thought for sure that your last experience would have soured you, but it's so, you know, it's like when it's in your blood, it's in your blood. And I think that's the thing that, that people recognize, you know, it's not, you know, how many times you get knocked down or screwed or whatever, that you just bounce back and say, but you know what, got a better idea this time, got another idea. You know, you're surrounded by such good people on this project as well. Like you mentioned, Dara, you guys seem like you write really well. You both did Second Shot, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I've been working with Dara since We're Getting Nowhere. So we're going on 8 years of collaborating. We've always gotten along well. We work well together. We have the same sense of humor. She came on to Second Shot as our head writer. So we collaborated through that entire process, and she was one of the rocks of that project, and she's fucking genius writer. She is so funny.
She seems like she would be really, if just going by what she puts out there, really witty stuff, really witty.
She's seriously one of the funniest people I know, and I love her writing. So I will work with Dara forever and ever, and I will make her work with me whether or not she wants to. And same with Annie. I mean, Annie directed Second Shot. She pulled so many resources from her, you know, from her friends and made, I mean, she did such a fantastic job. And the shoot tomorrow, this is no budget, by the way, and she is bringing in gear. Like, we spent 20 minutes walking in gear, and I'm like, what is this? Like, I thought we were just doing this little, like, right. You know, this isn't like full production mode, but that's Annie Price. I mean, that's what she does. She's going to do it. She's going to do it right. So
it shows, though. It really, really shows. Because I remember thinking the minute we started watching Second Shot, I remember thinking, this is different. I mean, I know it's a web series, but it's different. It feels like a sitcom that you would just turn your television on and find it scrolling through channels. Like it felt like that kind of a quality. And to me, that leaves a mark. Like that, you know, that's what makes you, you know, support this kind of stuff that you guys are doing. You know, that's why I immediately jumped on the bandwagon. I'm like, I gotta know more about this. I know if it's anything, you know, like I don't want to put anybody down, but you know, you see, we get so many links and people send us stuff and can you take a look at this? Can you talk about that? Can you support this and support that? And then you look at it and it's not quite what you thought it was going to be. And you know, so then I just don't say anything because I don't want to say anything bad. I think it's fantastic when anybody can put something out there. Like, you know, they can complete something because that's where I fail. So, you know, to get it done is always such a huge thing. So, you know, I'm supportive of that. But there's just something when you find something that feels right and it's a quality project and it's witty and it's funny. And like I said, if you could picture yourself sitting there flicking through the channels and finding this on there and staying on it, then you know you've hit a good thing. You know you've hit on something good. And that is exactly how I felt about Second Shot. So when I saw Bad Habits, I'm like, you know what? I had a feeling that it was going to be the same team. I think I saw a picture and I saw all you guys and I was like, yep. I think that's the same people. I think it is.
Yeah, we're going to do it. I mean, you know, we had such a fantastic time with Second Shot and we proved that we can work together well and that we're good collaborating. We just now are being much more careful about who we bring on board with us,
right,
on the other end of things. So,
yeah.
And we won't make that mistake again, I can promise you. So,
fool me once.
Yeah, fool me once. So we're really excited though. And we're, you know, I agree with you. There is so much stuff out there and I'm so happy that it's happening, but and it's hard to make stuff without a budget. I get
of course,
it, you know,
yeah,
but
sure.
there's always some major thing lacking, whether it's the acting is just kind of,
right,
or
the location,
you know,
the setting, the sound, right. Yep.
Or the script just sucks. I mean, honestly, that's, you know, not everybody's a writer. Including myself. I mean, I'm an idea person. And Dara, what's great about our collaboration is I come up with a lot of ideas. I can throw out, like, here's an idea for an episode. And then Dara is the one that actually writes the dialogue.
That's me. I'm all dialogue. I mean, I have ideas and stuff, but I feel like I excel at dialogue. I wish I could. And you know what? I really hate typing. So, you know, it always reminds me of that movie Best Friends with Burt Reynolds and Goldie Hawn.
Yes.
Like how he would have to sit there typing while she just walked back and forth and spewed dialogue. So
yes.
I just need somebody that'll sit and type my dialogue.
Well, there you go. You need to find a collaborator, because that's if you can find the combo of, like, I'm an idea person, but she writes the dialogue, and then she gives it to me, and if I have ideas for punch up, but she really is hysterically funny, and I don't ever want to change her lines.
Right.
I think you're really going to enjoy these first two vignettes, and I hope it gives people a glimpse into the writing and the production value and who these characters are, and that this group has such a fantastic chemistry, you know, and we're bringing two more people on board.
Did I see Jillian?
You sure did. Oh. We roped her in. Yes. She's actually now joining our main cast. She was going to play a recurring character, but we had a little cast shakeup, and now she is going to be in our main cast playing one of the nuns.
Oh, man, did you ever luck out. We're talking about Jillian Armanente. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And she was the one that was in Kittens in a Cage.
And wrote it and directed it.
Yes.
And produced it.
And we did such a fantastic interview with her. She is hilarious.
I know she is. That's why we were like... So I did a little tiny part in Kittens, and she's hoping to do a second season, and I made her write me a bigger role. I was like, you have to extend my part, and I'll introduce you to all my press friends. And she's like, okay. So so she's fantastic, and she so Dara loves her too, right?
Oh, good.
And Dara says to me, I just saw Jillian. We need to bring her into this. And I was like, yes. So we basically just told her, we're like, Jillian, we have this part for you and you're going to play it. And she was like, okay. I mean, it was hysterical. Like, she just was like, absolutely. And then when we moved her to the main cast, we went over to her house for a party and we're like, Jillian, so we're thinking now we want you to be one of the series regulars and switch over to Sister Max. And she's like, all right. So she totally, we didn't even ask her. We just told her.
She shoved her right into it. Perfect.
She volunteered to help shoot a couple of the vignettes. So we're going to be working with her in 2 weeks, and she's going to be directing two of the vignettes.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. So we've got this, I mean, it's amazing. And then we have this guy named Pat Town, who's playing the Cardinal. He is a teacher at Second City. He was in the original group of the Annoyance Theater out of Chicago, which is Jane Lynch, Jill Soloway. Like, he's one of the funniest people I've ever met. And all of these people are improvisers. So this is going to be insanely fun.
Oh, fantastic.
And then this next week, we are casting our last two members, and we are doing a diversity initiative because we are guilty of having a very white cast other than Kathy Shim. And so we decided, Lauren's a big part of this, because when we had the cast shakeup, she's like, you might want to look at how white your cast is. And she's for the producers on the project. And because we are about to offer it out, I could name a bunch of names of people that you already know and love,
right. Comedians
and stuff, and we were about to, and then I was like, you know what, you're right. Like, we need to make an effort. We sit there and complain about it, this year's Oscars, and it's so true. And I was like, so the next two roles, and of course they're women, because we only have one man in the cast, because that's how I roll.
Add a girl.
Women of color only. We absolutely women of color. We are not even considering any Caucasian women, and that's on purpose because they're everywhere, and we need to find women of color and make that a part of our cast, and that's what we're doing. So
diversify a little bit.
I'm sorry?
Just got to keep it diversified.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're guilty of it because we just, you know, I like to work with the same people over and over and over again. So I just usually think of my friends.
Right.
Instead of like opening the you know, casting the net. So next Saturday and Sunday, we're going to be reading people. And we're going to be doing a lot of live things too, which we haven't talked about. So I know this isn't going to go up. I'm not sure when this is going to go up. So it will be after the fact. But we're going to be going live from set.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
Yeah, on Facebook, from our Facebook page, Bad Habits, tomorrow, and then also on the 17th, we shoot the other set of vignettes.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, so we'll probably miss tomorrow's, but now April 17th will be the next one?
Yeah, we're going to be shooting the Cardinal and his assistant, Kathy, who's one of the roles. We're going to be shooting his vignette, and then Sister Max, which is Jillian's role, and then the role, another role we're casting named Haley, who is our postulant, basically the nun in training.
Okay.
So we're looking for Kathy, and Haley are the two new cast members we're looking for, but we'll be shooting their vignettes on the 17th, and then mine is going to be sometime in May, because it's kind of a crazy idea, and it's going to take a lot of, it's big. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want to ruin it, but I'm really excited about it. If we can pull it off, it's going to be kind of amazing, I hope.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really fun. So when people, because I do see, like, I see tweets and I see Facebook messages and posts and stuff, so they would go to facebook.com/badhabits?
Yes. So, our Bad Habits page, we're going live from there. It's, we're trying to do it as much as we possibly can, because it's amazing the number of views where like people are interested. It's like the live video thing. I did it years ago.
Yeah.
And now suddenly it's popular again.
It is. With Periscope and all that stuff, it's just kind of bringing it back, isn't it?
It is. And I kind of was hesitant to do it at first, but now I'm having fun with it again.
Yeah,
so,
it is. It's fun.
It's on that Bad Habits Facebook page, and we'll tweet out before we go live. And then we also share it if we can to our other pages, like my Jill Bennett page and Lauren's page. So we try to spread it out as far and wide as possible.
Great.
Because then more people see it. It's at the top of the news feed.
Fantastic.
So if you want to see, I mean, you know, pop onto the page and see what we're up to. We'll be live on, tomorrow, the 3rd, and then the 17th of April, well.
When you say that you're going live from the set, will people just kind of be like popping on and doing a Q&A, or do you like show people what's actually happening?
I don't know what we're going to do yet. That's the fun of it. Like, I'm so buried in producing that I haven't even really thought about it. And the less we think about it, the better it seems to be. Like when we try to plan it.
Yeah. Oh, that was pretty much our whole podcasting career.
Yes.
Exactly. Unless you think about it,
the better off you'll be.
It's true. It's so true. So this sounds like it's going to be not only fun and exciting, but major, like big, massive.
I hope so. I hope so. When we have this opportunity with Facebook that may or may not come, help in some other ways, which I can't talk about just yet, but after next week, hopefully I'll be able to talk about it. But there is a reason why we're doing it on Facebook and doing Facebook Live. So I'm hoping that it helps lead to opportunities for us and other people to see what we're doing.
That's really cool, because first of all, I didn't even know it was an option to do anything live from Facebook. I had no idea that was even an option.
You might have to consider that.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of I don't want to say I'm switching gears a little bit and producing other podcasts. And focusing less and less on the lounge. So when I do a lounge show, I usually have something good, you know? So that's why I wanted to chat, because then it gives me a reason to actually do a lesbian lounge show. But we got so many, I just wanted to give other people opportunities to, you know, to talk about the things that they're passionate about, whether it's music or film. And we have a new comedy one that's fantastic, Funny Business, The Women of Stand-Up Comedy. And we got a great kid from Ohio that's doing a music show. And then we got two funny girls from up near Park Slope that do a pretty funny, just a ragtime, like a venting type of of show. So, so yeah, there's a couple things so people don't get bored with the feed. But yeah, I've kind of been holding out with the Lesbian Lounge and just doing them when there's something big to discuss, you know, or a fun interview or something like that. So I appreciate you.
Thank you for asking. We've sort of like, I've sort of been sitting on this and just, I'm wanting to do the slow, like I usually will reach out to my friends and people that I know, people like you to say, hey, can we talk about this? But because we're still unsure how and where we're going to do the pilot, I've just sort of slowly started leaking photos and,
I'm so like impatient. I'm like, what is this all about? Why do I not know about it?
And it's not like we want to stretch it out too far, but we're just like, let's just trust, let's just start doing the work. And hopefully people will find it funny. And it's very broad. I mean, honestly, LGBT is in there because my character is bisexual. She's a lot of things. She's a ex dominatrix who got busted for being like a Heidi Fleiss level madam.
Excellent.
That's Big Kim is in jail. So there is some, but I mean we're at a monastery, so there's not a whole lot. But then Sister Max is sort of. You might get the impression that Sister Max could be running from something, from her sexuality. So it's going to be, but as far as like, is this an LGBT show? Not necessarily. This is probably the broadest and most open. There will definitely be gay people in it. Obviously, right. Kim is LGBT.
Right.
And Sister Max, although she is not practicing, most likely is, and there's going to be some flirtation happening. That's definitely going to be there, but this is definitely, I would say this is a mainstream show. This is not, we want the LGBT crowd and we hope that they find themselves in it. I think they will. And also they're very familiar with this cast. But we're hoping because it's as broad as it is that we can appeal to, a crowd that will help get us made, that's the hope. I will never give up on our audience though, and I will always make sure that any project that I do is, as you know, I couldn't possibly make a heterosexual show. That would break my heart.
But what I'm finding is that more and more, I mean, obviously it's never going to be at the level that we hope because it is what it is. But what I'm finding is that there's so many more LGBT characters now that are in mainstream. So I think you're doing the right thing.
Right.
And I think that it's, because it's becoming so much more acceptable. The only bad part is that they always do kill the lesbians off. So, I mean, there's been so much talk about that lately, but.
God, I mean, in 2 weeks in a row, it was like one right after another.
Yeah. Thank God I don't even watch both of those shows because I would have been like hopping on the bandwagon. But, it's been like that forever. But the thing of it is that I think you do increase your chances when you make it appealing to everybody and we're included. I mean, that's all we want anyway. So it's just, it's fantastic.
Right.
What are your thoughts though, like about, as I say this, we have it on pause, we were just watching The Ranch on Netflix, paused it, but what are your thoughts about Netflix and Amazon and streaming sites like that? Like, is that always always the goal?
It's possibly, yeah. I mean, they're the biggest, those reach the most people. Getting into those places is as difficult as it is getting into ABC, NBC, Fox.
Nowadays I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Amazon and Netflix are gathering all the TV awards now because they're, Transparent, for example. A major network wouldn't have touched that show.
Right. Exactly.
And Amazon said yes, not only said yes, but let Jill Soloway do what she does because she's fucking brilliant.
Right.
And now they're winning all the awards and everyone, everyone's flocking to these online, video stream options because they're better.
Right.
I mean, the content is better. They take more chances. The characters are interesting. They're diverse, diversified, and Sense8 on Netflix was fantastic. I loved that show.
Right, and I think also because they're not driven by ads, by selling advertisements. You don't have to worry about, you know, a big major company pulling their ads and not having that kind of, you know, money and budget behind them. I mean, they're driven by subscription prices, and everybody's subscribing, so their budgets probably are huge now. But yeah, they don't have somebody breathing down their necks. I think that's what, you know, why people enjoy it so much more. You know, I mean, A, the commercials aren't there, and B, we know that there's nobody telling them, no, don't show this, don't air this, we're uncomfortable with this. I don't need, you know, I don't need like a spaghetti company to tell me, you know, that's not acceptable. You know, if I want to watch it, I want to watch it. And I think it gives everybody that freedom.
And it's showing. I mean, their numbers are through the roof, and they're almost as high as network TV now. Because network TV, I mean, network TV is doing a good job, and I'm watching more network TV than I ever used to.
Right.
But definitely the cable networks and the online networks are the place to be. And obviously, if we, you know, we would love to get into one of those places, and you never know. I mean, we have someone attached to the project who is very respected and well known in the industry, who's sort of sitting back and I think letting us build an audience and to create some content, and perhaps he can help us get into some of those places. You know, I'm not looking, just like the other project, I don't necessarily need this to have some huge, you know, network. I would just love a nice, you know, small, middle-sized digital incubator to work with us to help us get this made. I'm not looking for, Amazon would be fantastic, but even just a middle-sized place that could say, we can give you your $50,000 to make this, because that's what our budget is for, just like for Second Shot, 50
right,
grand,
right.
To make the pilot, and we know we can knock it out of the park for that much money, and that's nothing for production. I mean, that's
it's beans.
A fraction of what they usually spend on it. So, you know, we'll see. But, I mean, we have the audience who watches TV. Actually, the biggest audience is our demographic, which is women between the ages of 25 and 50.
Right.
That is the biggest, you know, those are the people that watch TV and they have money to spend. You know, we're also considering doing, and this idea is something that I'm not sure yet. Like, we talked about the Kickstarter, and then I said, well, what about if we just start creating content, if people really like it, we create a video and we ask for 99 cents. Is 99 cents worth it? Will people spend a dollar knowing that that money is going toward the pilot? Instead of saying, give us $25 for Kickstarter, we want to earn your money. We want to pay for play. We're not going to ask you for money beforehand. We're going to show you what we can do. And then we're going to start slowly, maybe after 5 or 6 videos, we say, hey, will you pay 99 cents for this?
Right.
And see, I mean, we don't know what will work, but you know, I guess hopefully at this point, people know we can't make content for free. Like we don't,
you can't
create quality content for no money, and you can only ask your friends to work for free so many times. So,
we're still
considering, is that an option down the road? Like if we can't find anyone to work with us, should we then just go to the audience and say, are you willing to pay 99 cents to watch this? I don't know. You know, I don't know how people are feeling about that kind of stuff right now, because it's, you know, that we've done Kickstarter, there's Telo's subscription model, there's all these different models, but I'm not entirely sure what works best.
I know, you know? It's a tough call, because everybody's budget is different and everybody's finances are different, you know, and it's tough, you know, like I think things that are on auto pay, I don't think twice about. But then I'm the one at the end of the month that goes, hey, where'd all my fucking money go?
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not really thinking about it because you don't see anything. But yeah, at the end of the month, you're like, fuck, that went fast. But yeah, it's tough because there are, you know, everybody's in a different boat. So it's a really tough call, I guess. I think, you know, one of the things I didn't realize this, but I had, do you know Leslie Bibb?
Yeah, absolutely.
We were, you know, having a talk when she had just done Salem Rogers for Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's great. I loved that.
Wasn't it fantastic? Oh, God. I loved it, too. And we were just talking about how Amazon was driving people to, to watch all these pilots. And then it seemed like whoever, or I don't know, however many, if it was like one or two or three that had the most views, would they would pick up a season of it.
Right.
And I didn't know that that was a thing. Like, I thought if they have you making a pilot, then they were backing the whole season. But it's, so I feel like it's like that kind of scrappiness anywhere you go, you know, like you're always scrapping.
It is. And you're like, well, you know, I know from my past experience, like I harbor no illusions of, you know, my content being a mainstream or like, I guess what I think is important is to know that there is a small but very loyal audience for your content, and that's what I feel like. And just based on the film festival circuit that I've done for so many years, you know, I know that there is an audience for it, especially worldwide. I mean, it's not so much even here, but where you are, Germany, all the places that we traveled to, and to see the fan base there, it's so much bigger. And I, you know, Jillian talked to me about that with Kittens too. She's like, you guys need to like spend your advertising dollars in every place but the United States, because she's like, we have gotten the most response from countries that speak English but don't necessarily have a lot of content coming at them.
It's so true.
You know? And I was like, yeah, I didn't even think about that. But that's the case with all my past projects, is the most, I would say the most mileage that we got was not here in the United States. It was, it was elsewhere, especially in the UK. I would say that that's always been, my feels like the bread and butter of whatever I do. I have, more film festivals and, you know, opportunity, with the UK people, my UK girls, as I call them.
Exactly. So, well, you see, speaking of your UK girls, you saw Katie and Naomi, didn't you?
Yes, indeed.
Love them.
We went and had drinks. Well, we had dinner the other night. They were on their way to Dinah. And we just sat and gossiped and gossiped and gossiped.
It's what you do. It's what you do. Yeah, I'm really glad that they're enjoying themselves and relaxing and having a good time. They've had a really tough year this year, and it's so good to see them with smiles on their faces.
Yes, absolutely. We decided that we had to figure out a way to work together at some point. They're my kind of people.
Yeah, they really are. They're so, they're actually doing the publishing work for my book.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And it is such a relief, first of all, to pass it off to people to get rid of it, but to pass it off to people who, like, instead of having to go through 9 million steps, you know, like, this person's going to do the editing, this person's going to do the formatting, this person's going to do the cover design, this person's going to do the promotion, this person's going to submit it to other publishing houses and do the negotiation. They do everything.
Oh, man. Everything. That sounds great.
Yeah, and it's them, and I trust them, and I don't feel like I have to chase them or check on them, and, you know, like, it's just, it's worry-free, and it opened me up to start my next thing, and you know, I just, like, this was a really good move. Like, I don't normally make good decisions, but that was a good one.
they're so great. I mean, they have stayed in contact with me ever since I met them, and they're just, I get such a warm feeling from them. I adore them, and then I actually had to apologize, because at the time that they were releasing She's in London, She's in or from?
In.
I was kind of mired in a crazy personal, I had a very dramatic bad year last year, and I'd sort of said, listen, I'm stepping away. I don't have the bandwidth right now to do anything on video, because they were asking to do some video content to help promote it. And I was like, I feel so bad. And I just apologized profusely, because I was like, I'm so sorry, because you guys did such a fantastic job in helping us with Second Shot. And then, you know, they came to me, and I was like, I'm useless right now. So I was like, if and when you want to do another push for your show, because it's not really available on a wide scale right now, which they might, I don't know what they're thinking about, but I said I'd be happy to help because, yeah. You know, they were so giving of their time and resources. And,
they always are. Yeah, they always are. And it is, it's, but you know, the best part about them is that, you know, when you have a really good working relationship with them, they're very understanding. So I wouldn't worry too much.
They forgave me.
Yeah.
Because they had a bad year too. But yeah. I just was like, you know,
it happens.
I would be there for the people, you know, this is a two-way street and we really still have to help each other out.
Yeah.
And I want to be supportive of those who have been supportive of me and of people that I just genuinely like, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
like you, for example.
Oh, thank you. I don't get to hear that. I don't hear that often. So that's lovely. But yeah, I mean, it does happen. You just get mired down and whether it's personal or professional, it just happens. But yeah, I think most people are understanding of it. I think it's harder for people that are in front of the camera, you know, like you feel like your fans they have such an expectation, you know, and we're fans, even though we work together and we partner up on things and all that, but we are fans. And I think maybe being on this end of the business, it's, we're a little bit more understanding as opposed to somebody that's just sitting there waiting for content, you know?
Yeah, well, and that's also, I mean, I've purposely sort of stayed out of, you know, like the last big, I would say, time that I was active is when I was out to see you. And then I purposely pulled myself away a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just starting my relationship with Lauren. We are going on 3 years.
I know. That is amazing.
So, yeah. But I kind of wanted to protect that because of my past situations. And I purposely was, you know, I protected it because it's, you know, it's sacred to me. And I also wanted to start my relationship with her on a very different note.
Yeah. And, sometimes it's
but
like,
but now that we are on 3 years in and, you know, I feel more comfortable. We're now doing the live thing and
it's
but
cool.
It took a while for me to want to do that again because, it's dangerous, you know,
yeah.
It's letting, a second part of your life, which is your personal life, to be, you know, examined
accessible.
And
yeah.
broadcast.
Yeah.
And it's a scary thing and you want to make sure that it's the right thing to do. And, you know, now I can do it. Now I feel comfortable doing it as
yeah.
it's sort of in, you know, complete opposite of my previous lives.
Right.
And it's been much better, but now I'm fine with it. And I want everyone to know Lauren because she's fucking brilliant and mm-hmm. an amazing actress, which you'll see. And she's producing this and I just fucking love her so much. So,
oh, that's
so
good.
I'm excited for people to meet her and get to know her, you know, now that we've had a little bit of time. But it is one of those things. You're like, do I really want to do that? Do I want to open
yeah,
myself
can,
up
to I can
to
see
this?
Where you would be tentative about it. It's a big lesson to have learned. But that's the thing is that you've probably learned a better way to be able to merge both worlds. So
yes.
That's,
I hope so.
Yeah.
I think so. Yes, absolutely.
Definitely. Very cool. Well, I absolutely adore you for taking out, like, most people are like, you know, can we keep it down to 20 minutes? Here we are going on 40 minutes bullshitting.
I could talk to you all day.
I love it. I love it because I get it, like, from a fan's perspective where we miss you and we're so happy that you'll... You know, that we know it's coming. Like, we know it's coming, and that's, like, that's
it
super
is.
Exciting. But, yeah, even just in general, you know, I definitely miss our chats and our fun stuff. But, you know, it sounds like we have got to start working on the next thing we can get you to come over here for and bring that
yes.
with you. Yeah. So
yes.
Now my little wheels are turning. Now.
Potentially the plan could be the same for this show where we, you know, we shoot the pilot and we have these vignettes and maybe we do the film festival circuit. You know, that's an option.
I have a feeling, I think what I would like to do is, and don't get me wrong, I enjoy Elfest. I love everything about it. And this is probably the first year that I'm not doing it. And in fact, it is the first year that I'm not doing it. And I've been here 5 years.
Wow.
So, but I do think that I would like to get involved in a lot of the different film festivals that are here and not, focus all your, you know, how sometimes you get like, you know, with Elfest, I just focus all my attention on that, but I would like to experience BFI, Flare, all the different film festivals that go on, especially during LGBT History Month and stuff like that, that I'm just now becoming aware of because I was so single focused that I didn't broaden it. And I would really like to get involved. And I feel like, out of everybody, and I don't mean any disrespect, my God, to anybody that I've ever met at Elfest, but I feel like I bonded the most when I did the cinema.
Yeah.
I had the best time when I was on the main stage, but I bonded with people the most when I did the cinema. And I think that was the year after you were here. Kristen came with Caitlin Berg and some Tello faces. And we had such a good time, but I met, Volley Boehm, who's an amazing, filmmaker here. And just, you know, all the people that attended the cinema and that were so passionate about it and stayed for the Q&A. And it just seemed like the connects were fantastic. I feel like that might be more of an avenue to pursue. So I will keep you posted step by step.
Absolutely. And we'll, you know, I'll stay in touch with you and let you know if there's any, you know, if something else, you know, if we figure out our way, we will figure it out. I mean, once I decide to do something, I do it.
I know. It's hard. You have to be, you know, it's like you have to be creative in the process of making the project. Then you have to be creative in the process of financing the project. Then you have to be creative in the process of promoting it. So it's a lot.
And then keeping friendships intact all along the way.
Exactly, exactly.
Just, honestly, it's really easy. I mean, we get along so well. Annie, you know, of anybody, Annie and I probably butt heads a little because of the money thing. We sometimes disagree on where the no money that we have is being spent.
right.
But we always, and then we're like, okay, let's go do this and let's have fun. And we have a blast. And hopefully you'll see on set how much fun we're having because getting these women, everyone that's working, we do this for money. Like all of these people are professionals that get paid to do this. And everyone's showing up tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to do it for free because they believe in it. They think it's funny. And they think that we can create something really good together again.
That is such a sign, you know, that's the thing. I think that's the best part is that it's a sign that it's, that people believe in it. Like that lets everybody know, okay, we got something good here.
Yeah. We found the chemistry together years ago and now we get to do it again, under, I hope, better circumstances.
It sounds like it. Know. Yeah, definitely. So. Sounds like it. Fantastic. Good for you.
Yay!
I'm so glad we had this time together.
No, me too. Well, I will stay in touch. You stay in touch. If you ever need anything from me, you know where to find me.
I do. I will just Skype you or Skype chat you or message you or tweet you. I'm all over it.
Same. All right. Well, hello to all the ladies.
Oh, thank you so much. My girls, Hazel just left and Gemma just ran upstairs. And all my listeners, I know, are super thrilled to hear you and hear about this, of course. Anytime, definitely, when the next thing comes up, the next push that you're going to do, contact me. We'll get it out there for you.
Fantastic. And I'll make sure my camera's connected so that you can look at my face.
That would be lovely. Although this picture's not bad, I got to tell you.
Okay, good.
All right, take care. Give hugs to Lauren.
Thank you. I'll
take care of my Planet London girls if you see them again.
I will.
Okay, love you. Bye. So that was my chat with the lovely Jill Bennett. Please, you guys, support Bad Habits. It looks like it's going to be fantastic. It's always a pleasure talking to Jill. Not only a friend, but an advocate and a fantastic member of our community. So I'm super thrilled that we had the time together. And I just wanted to, I just want to put it out there. This is a crazy time, especially with social media. I know all the politics. It's an election year, so things in the states are rocky at best. And I think with social media, we're really finding out a lot of stuff about friends we may not have known, and their political likes and dislikes just kind of chip away at us, so to speak. So, you know, keep your chin up. You know, don't try not to judge people too harshly. It's ridiculous to say, I know, but it's true. Anyways, things over here, we're dealing with whether to stay as part of the EU or break away. That's the big thing going on in politics over here. You know, this North Carolina thing over in the States is really disheartening, really disheartening. You know, it's like 2 steps forward, 10 steps backwards. So there's but I, you know, I love the fact that there's people that are advocating for us. Our allies are fantastic. Bruce Springsteen, canceling concerts, you know, celebrities, Sharon Stone pulling out of a movie project that was going to be filming in the South. And sometimes you just have to hit them where it hurts to get them to see the error of their ways. And that seems to be what's going on over there. You know, it's trying times, people, trying times, I guess. So, you know, chin up and remember, we're here for you. And I miss you guys. I do these things when I can. I'm doing some producing, my book's still in the works. A lot of stuff going on. The ragtime shows are coming in fast and furious once a month. We've got Music for Your Soul with Sarah Cooper Ryder coming in shortly. Her first one was fantastic with Donna McGavro, Ohio musician. Carrie's Comedy Corner, Women in Funny Business, Women in Stand-Up, on a little bit of a hiatus. Carrie's in Australia right now. I'm going to see if I could pick up the slack for her while she's away. But for the most part, we're having fun over here at My Lesbian Radio, and that's all that matters. The girls from Planet London, my goodness, having a great time at the Dinah, going by their pictures. Looked like they had a fantastic time. Well, once again, the Dinah looked like tons of fun happening in Palm Springs over there. Everything looked like it went really well. I saw that Lady Gaga made an appearance, not on the stage, but just hanging out in the VIP tent. That was pretty cool. And really, you know what? That's about it. So remember, support your LGBT functions and events. And hang in there. Miss you. Love you. Bye-bye.
We'll be passing by, and they'll be wasting in time, just waiting for new. And while they're chasing dogs, we'll be dancing in the dust, 'cause we're coming through. Whenever you need me, I'm behind. And I promise to take you all to the highs. Fire in the hearts. will be blowing up the stars. Now we're coming through. Well,